Business Matters, in association with Donegal ETBs for their education and training service, supporting essential communication and customer service skills for a more sustainable business.
Hi, I'm Kieran O'Donnell. You're welcome to Business Matters. In the second of our two-part series featuring Donegal companies that have benefited from Uthers na Gaeltachta's trading online initiatives, we talk to Marion Sweeney, owner of Gem Design and Atlantic Memorials in Dunloe, and Gweedore-based Kathleen McGowan, founder of IrishConcertinaLessons.com. And in this week's Backing Business segment, I'll be speaking to Michael Tunney, Head of Enterprise and Economic Development at the Donegal Local Enterprise Office, about the latest programmes and supports being rolled out. Marion Sweeney moved to Dublin to work in the banking sector and spent a year in Australia before returning home to Dunloe. Marion then went back to education in 2006 and graduated from Letterkenny IT with a degree in graphic design in 2009. Fast forward 12 years and Marion is now self-employed. She has recently set up a second online business which is performing extremely well. Marion began by telling me about the path she took after leaving secondary school.
After doing a PLC course, I got a job in Dublin, and I was working in really good jobs in the bank in Dublin. I absolutely loved it up there, but one day I got a bonus for not even being there a year. I was handed 5,000, rang my now husband, went, "We're going to Australia." We'd enough money. We didn't have to go that time like everyone now. Headed off to Australia, got the year out of our system. And when we came home, went back to Dublin for a few years. We were both working for Bank of Scotland at the time, and Jamie got offered a job in Donegal. Not wanting to leave Dublin, I said, if we're going home, I'm going to college.
Why was it so important to go to college?
I didn't realise it until I told the people I worked with that I'd applied, and they went, "Finally, you talk about this all the time about doing graphic design." I didn't realise I was. I didn't realise how much I really wanted to do this. And I got through as a mature student. I was 25 at the time, come back into LYIT.
How was that experience?
Nerve-wracking on the first day because everyone was so young. But when I got there, there was a load not outside school. There was a friend of my sister's there, and she was only a couple of years younger than me, and I made really, really good friends. And then 3 years flew by. It was really good.
What were your expectations going into LYIT and going back to the books as a mature student?
I knew it was going to be hard work, but I thought, okay, I can do typing, I'm tech savvy, I know what I'm doing. But the courses, there was certain lectures, they stripped everything back. You had to start from the beginning. You weren't allowed for the first couple of months to nearly go near a computer. You'd use a pencil. And it started from raw, and it really changed how you thought you were learning. It's not like secondary school, the PLC course. They make you start from the start and think things out. And it's funny, the wee one had a... I'm going off course now. The wee one had a project there over from school, and I made her sit down with the pencil and do it like we'd done it in college. And we got to our end thing really easy when you explain it that way. So it's kind of... I'm still doing it. I'm still trying to keep them... the way I was taught in my everyday work, but not a best decision I ever made.
And after you graduated, what was the next step for you?
After I graduated, Jenny was born after I graduated, my oldest. And from there, I kind of took a wee break, and I done a wee part-time job here in Dunloe in a place called Worklink. And I was working with the mental health, just doing admin. Then a couple of years later, I got a job working for another local business doing wedding design. That lasted however long they needed me for. And then the opportunity came up to start go out on my own. So I did 5 years ago at Easter now. No, 6 years ago now at Easter.
And how did that process come about?
I had been doing bits and pieces on my own, and I had built up my own clientele. So I was able to just keep going and build on it. And then I had my second daughter, Emma. So hence the name, Jenny, Emma, Gem Design. And it was a thing that my husband was travelling to Letterkenny, so somebody had to be at home to do the school runs, so I was going to work around it. And it works for us that I work from home, and I like it. I like the flexibility, and if I need to work at night, I can work at night. It suits me, it suits my clients that I'm available.
How did you find juggling graduating and family coming along and the business?
When I graduated, I was still only pregnant. So that wasn't too big. But I got married in the middle of it. So I was planning a wedding in the middle of college. So that was a bit hectic. But it's kind of like, you just had to focus at one thing at a time, whatever was priority at the time. The projects for it were huge. They were. There was an awful lot of hours work, and maybe I put more pressure on myself than I needed to, and the lecturer said that because I pushed myself maybe more than I needed to. But because I was older, I wanted to get the most out of the course and the most out of the lectures.
Can you break it down and explain what you do and what you specialise in, Marianne?
I do everything graphic design, from menus and posters. But in the last couple of years, I focused on the wedding stationery. I love it. I love everything to do with the wedding industry.
Why? What's the attraction about that?
I don't know. I love the wedding fairs, meeting brides and grooms, being part of that journey. And I think it's just the whole that it's a nice, happy day and part of their celebrations. And you start maybe sometimes with the save the date, and there's a whole process that then you're going into invitations and seating plans and everything, and then thank you cards. So you're part of their journey.
Yeah. Do you enjoy being part of the process?
Love it. Love it. And I've met so many suppliers along the way. So we're all recommending each other. So it's great to be a source for the brides and grooms to come and ask as well. So you're more than just a designer to them. You're kind of like nearly a planner. That was the intention one time upon a time, to do wedding planning. But I don't know if I go that far. I'm quite happy to do just the design work of it.
And in relation to weddings, obviously, the way things are over the last 12 months with the pandemic, it's one part of business that has been, the pause button's been pressed on. Have you diversified as a result of the weddings being put on hold?
Absolutely. Last March was the last wedding. It was literally got in before the lockdown. And then after that, the mess just calls started coming. I have to postpone. And there's some girls that are on their fourth change. So the day the girls came home from school, it was a case of, right, we'll take a few weeks and figure this out. And then I looked into what can I do? What part of the business can be built up? And I had been doing memorials, but it was for people that I knew and word them out. And I was kind of a bit nervous because it is such a sensitive issue. So I looked about what will I do. So the Uzeris were offering the trading online voucher. So I contacted them, and I got contacted by Donegal Beal, and I applied, and I had to contact my web designer. So I went back to Clive Connaughton, who I went to college with. He had just recently set back up in Ireland. He was away in United Arab someplace for a few years. And I approached him, and from the get-go, we set up Atlantic Memorials.
When was that?
It was towards the end of, it was middle of the summer, June, July time. So it took us a couple of months to design it because it wasn't a quick throw together website. We'd done the whole branding and made sure the company was the focus. Instead of being something, we wanted it to be, when someone went to the website, they felt like it was a celebration of someone's life, not it's a memorial card. Doom and gloom, we wanted it to be a celebration. So that was the colours, everything. There was a whole process. He's very professional at what he does. The plan was to launch at the beginning of December, but I got involved with a local charity, Gemma's Legacy of Hope, and it was running a plunge on New Year's Day, so I couldn't do everything, so it kind of took a back seat, and we launched in January. But actually it worked out better because I could give it my full focus, and then homeschool started again. So it's been very busy, unbelievable launch, it's amazing support, and between local and non-local. But at the same time, it was trying to keep the gem design still very busy, all the design work I've done for it. But the memorials, I'm overwhelmed by how well it's doing. I just need to get a wee bit more time now. The schools are back and drive a wee bit more few hours into it.
So you're effectively running two businesses and you're schooling from home.
Yes.
So again, it's a big commitment and a lot of things going on.
Yeah, yeah. And my husband's working in Emma's room at the front of the house and I'm out in the kitchen, and the kitchen table is the classroom. So we've had a very strict that we're starting no later than 9:30. So everyone's up breakfast no later than 9:30. Now most mornings I get up and Jenny has her homework done. She's nearly 11. But we have to be finished for 12, and that was the rule every day. Finish for 12, lunch is at 1, and then the rest of the afternoon is my time that I have work to do. And then whatever, if I have to do overtime that evening, Jamie finishes at 5, so he can take over from there. But yeah, it's been challenging, but it feels like the time flew. It didn't at the time, but they're back to school already a week, and they're really happy just to be back. I'm happy they're back too.
Yeah. You mentioned word of mouth there, Marian, and I suppose the importance of word of mouth sometimes may be underestimated. You have found the power of the word of mouth has been incredibly strong.
Huge, huge. I would have been very bad and told off a lot by not putting my business names on my products a lot of the time, so people would know where to turn to. I'm getting better at self-promotion. So a lot of people have told me you've been recommended to me. And that's the whole thing about the wedding. It's all recommended. I have these about 15 brides in Monaghan and people keep saying, how? And I said, literally, my cousin's wife in Sligo. And I've went on from there. And I have 15 brides in Sligo or Monaghan from that one recommendation. So it's very important to me. So it is.
How important has the support been from Udrys, Marian?
Udrys was brilliant. So they were, Donica was on the end of the phone all the time. From Seamus, the Irish planning language officer, everybody down there. Tara's constantly keeping me updated on any courses, and they're constantly emailing about courses and trying to keep you involved all the time. There's one tomorrow. A Zoom tomorrow, and they're constantly trying to help you all the time. But I found the process very easily. They were great to deal with.
You mentioned self-promotion, and that was maybe one aspect that you maybe could have improved upon. Do you feel you're getting better at that now?
Yes. I find now at the Atlantic Memorials, because not necessarily that I'm focusing at local, it's more national, that it's not me. Now, whereas Gem Design started up, it was very personal, whereas Atlantic Memorials isn't, and it's a new identity, and I can promote it better because I don't feel like it's me, if you know what I mean. It's getting there slowly, but that's the intention now for this year now, is better promotion and get the name out there more.
If you could give yourself, your 18-year-old self, a bit of advice, Marian, what would that be?
Don't stress over everything. I'm thinking of myself in college going, I stressed over everything, and there was no need because I got there in the end. I got my degree. I started up my own business, which I never thought I would.
I was going to ask you, I just presumed that having your own business was always part of the plan, but it wasn't.
No, it just happened. Chance by chance, I was working for a lady doing her design, and we actually went on a holiday to my brother's in County Clare, and the contract had ended, and we were in Clare, and I went, what now? And I went, you know what, I'm going to try this. But I come from a long line of self-employed people, so it was kind of in us to always give it a chance and see how you get on.
And finally, Marian, what lies ahead for yourself and your businesses, Gem Design and Atlantic Memorials?
Well, for the Gem Design, it's hopefully get back into the wedding side of things. That's the next focus, is a new website for the wedding side, and hopefully next year we'll get back into normal weddings. I'd say we're still small weddings for the rest of the year. Atlantic Memorials, I want to grow the business. Not make it a local business, but a national business that just get the name out there.
And have you a strategy for that?
Not as of yet. That's all this training I'm doing to learn how to do it. There's a lot of with the Udris and Rural Skill Net and all that there to teach you all how to do that. So it's all a work in progress, and to use this time to keep training. Yeah, just build up the business.
Marion Sweeney, thanks for joining us on Business Matters.
Thank you so much.
Next up is our Backing Business segment, where we'll hear from local state agencies and bodies who are supporting the local business sector. Joining me on the line is Head of Enterprise and Economic Development at the Donegal Local Enterprise Office, Michael Tunney. Michael, you're welcome to Business Matters.
Thank you very much, Keir.
Michael, it's a busy time at the Donegal Local Enterprise Office at the minute, with programmes and supports being rolled out to help local businesses dealing with Brexit and all that involves.
Yeah, I suppose once we got Local Enterprise Week done and dusted there the first week in March, it's back to porridge. So it is about continuing to roll out those supports, as you say, to businesses. And there's a lot coming up at the end of this month and into April. So I just highlight for this week, we have an event on the 24th on search engine optimization and web analytics that ties into the ongoing rollout of the training online vouchers. And every month there is an information event on the training online vouchers that potential applicants need to apply. We also then have our first ProfitNet meeting for the food cluster on the 24th as well. And then this Friday, and it's important if anybody out there thinking about applying for grant aid or wanting to know what services are available, it's an online information event on Friday at 10 a.m. or we call it our business information service and grant aid workshop. So it outlines what's available. And I suppose I should say on Friday as well, Kieran, we have our final of the Schools Enterprise competition this year. I think we've 12 schools, maybe 30-odd businesses in there from the county, and that will be online this year, so we'll be announcing the winners of that, and again, that'll be on our various social media platforms if anybody's interested. So there's a lot happening next 2 weeks and then into April as well, but key thing as well, I'd say, Kieran, anybody's interested, just look at our website, localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
How have you found the response to Brexit, Michael? We're the first quarter, we're just coming to the end of it now.
Yeah, no, I was just talking with colleagues this morning about it because we had a meeting with Guy Martin, the Director of Service. I was saying from the Local Enterprise Office, it's relatively quiet. Very few direct inquiries. And subsequently then this morning, talking with a business in Donegal who sells quite a bit into the UK and was saying, you know, touch wood, he was saying no real problems. If anything, sales slightly up. The only slight problem they were saying, which kind of is reflecting what we've heard from other quarters, is that some of the businesses in the UK really hadn't done the preparatory work. So that was causing a little bit of a delay, but he said his sales into the UK were up and very little problems. So that's our experience so far, but again, you know, we're dealing with micro-enterprises, primarily dealing in the regional and national market with relatively small percentages of their sales going into the UK.
You mentioned Local Enterprise Week, Michael. The last time I had you on the show, you were preparing for the event. How did that go?
It went very well. I mean, the very strong, good thing, I suppose, about the online is that it's easy for people to attend. They don't have to travel around the county. They don't have to get in their car. So the numbers at events were up. We were somewhere between 900 to 1,000. I haven't just got all the details back from all of the other partners. But from the five events that we organised, the average was about 110 people logging in and staying with the event for the hour and a half, 2.5 hours that it was. So it was positive there. Obviously, you didn't get that experience of meeting with clients or past clients and having that conversation, or the opportunity wasn't there for them to meet other businesses and have those kind of chat over a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or whatever it is. Or, you know, that's always been the plus side of it. And I suppose the level of engagement with speakers and businesses who were presenting, you just didn't have that same kind of that environment and that kind of sharing. So, but on the flip side, it was done, numbers were good, and it, from our perspective, it's two objectives always, is to provide an opportunity for businesses in the county to take some time out and hear from the experiences and learning of others. And the second thing was to create that environment where people can meet up. So it went some way, but hopefully next year, Ciarán, we can have a, you know, in person, and it might well be a blended, you know, that we might have in person, but also actually be putting it out there up on the internet at the same time. So I think it'll be a combination of both into the future.
Michael, look, it's been great to get an update from the local enterprise office. We'll talk to you in about a month's time. So for now, thanks for joining us on Business Matters.
Thank you very much, Ciarán.
After the break, we'll be catching up with Kathleen McGowan.
Would you like your staff to upskill in cutting-edge technology? Donegal ETB's Further Education and Training Service has a wide range of certified multimedia-funded courses on offer. Contact Enterprise Engagement at donegaletb.ie or call 912 0500.
Talented musician and dancer Kathleen McGowan launched her online business, IrishConcertinaLessons.com, in 2018. 3 years on, her online service is continuing to grow. It currently has subscribers from 29 countries, with the majority of them aged in their 50s and 60s. As Kathleen, who toured with Riverdance for a time, explained, teaching the concertina online from her home in the heart of the Donegal Gaeltacht is a big but welcome change.
I play the concertina, and I'm a musician and I'm a dancer, and I suppose since I was young, I've been doing gigs around the place. So I was touring along with my husband, Ciarán, who plays the fiddle. And we've been touring for, you know, a lot of years. And when we decided that we were going to get married and we'd like to maybe have kids, the touring lifestyle wasn't really suiting it that much. And at the same time, my husband, Ciarán, he works in TV as well. And he got offered a job making Irish traditional music programmes for TG Cahir. So that job is now based here in Gweedore. So that kind of put roots on us, and we said, right, well, we're going to try this settling malarkey, because we've been touring for a good few years at that stage.
What brought you to Gweedore?
Well, he's from here. And it's hard to get Donegal people out of Donegal, Ciarán.
You had no choice then, you're telling
me. No choice. He got his way in the end. I come from Ashburn in County Meath, and my parents are there, and they play the fiddle and dance as well. So I grew up in a musical household, but Ciarán also grew up in a very musical household, the Mooneys here in Gweedore. So I was very lucky to go from one musical house to another musical house. And, you know, they get it. The two families are of the same. They're cut from the same cloth, all up for the crack and the music and that. So that's kind of what brought us up here in the end.
So did you identify a niche for the instrument that you're teaching now online?
Yeah, well, so I've been playing the concertina since I was very young, and it's gas. Not a lot of people even know what the concertina is. Like, it's the shape of a 50p coin hexagon. It's kind of like an accordion, except there's buttons on both sides, so you're going over and back the whole time. And you would think that it's not that popular because, you know, everyone knows of the banjo and the accordion, the fiddle and the guitar. But like, you would think that it's amazing. I'm even amazed at the popularity of it in the last 10 or 15 years around the world, not just in Ireland, especially in Ireland, though, amongst kids. There is a lot of kids picking up the concertina.
Why is that?
You know, it's hard to even know. Well, for kids, I think the attraction is that there's buttons on it and they like coming up and getting they get the notes straight away. Like, I have 2-year-old twins and they just love pressing the buttons on it and getting the noise out like that. So there's the kind of fun element there, that it's buttons. But then for adults, there's a lot of people picking it up who are kind of nearing retirement age, and they want to, you remember that when years ago there were those, was it memory training games were coming out, and like brain training things where you have to figure it out. The concertina is the kind of instrument that it takes a bit of figuring out. You kind of have to think about it, because it's not like a string instrument where you have one note above the next note. You know, if you want to get F, it's just above E. On the concertina, it's in a completely different place altogether. So like, you have two D's, you've three G's, you've three A's. So there's a bit of figuring out. There's a numerous different ways you can play the sequence of notes, D, E, G, A. There's numerous different ways that you can play that. So as I was saying there, we were touring for all that time. And every time we would do a gig wherever we were in the world, there would, a lot of the time, we would also do a workshop. So Ciarán would teach a fiddle workshop and I would teach a concertina workshop, no matter where we were. And a lot of the time was America. We would be in America maybe 2-3 times a year. And there was always adults, a lot of adults in my concertina class, and they were really hungry to learn and they really wanted to improve. So there was a demand then when I would come home for Skype lessons, and that was kind of a thing that took off there, and people still do it a lot, where you arrange a time with whoever your teacher is in another country and you have a Skype lesson with them.
How long ago did you set those up? And the Skype?
Well, I never really took off with the Skype.
Right.
I tried it for a bit in between tours, but I found it quite hard to do because I found it hard to connect with the other musician. When you're playing on Skype, you can't actually play along together.
And how important is it to connect with the person that you're teaching?
Oh, it's hugely important to play along with your teacher in this music. It's not like classical music or other types of music where you learn it from the sheet, where you learn it, you read it. You don't read this. My number one thing on IrishConcertinaLessons.com is to listen to it and try and learn by ear. And that's how I learned. You have to feel this. It's folk music. It's an oral tradition, like, you know, through the generations, people pass it on through lilting the tune, through didling it. It wasn't written down. You have to go feel the flow of it. You have to, like, feel the swing and the sway of it. So the best way I learned growing up was playing with my teacher and getting in on their rhythm and their flow and where the beat was and where they were putting the emphasis and trying to copy along with them and play along with them and play along with them. And that's how I learned best. So the best way to learn traditional music and folk music is definitely through listening and playing along with other players.
So your starter class, what does that consist of and how do you roll out what you teach?
On the website, well, so there was a demand then for Skype lessons, and I was getting a lot of requests to teach online, and I knew that we wanted to start a family, and I was like, I don't want to be, you know, teaching back to back from 4 to 9 every evening on Skype or whatever. Like, that's not what I want to be doing. So I got this idea to set up pre-recorded lessons. So what it is that I hired in a camera man, and it's great. He does the editing and lighting and sound and all of that. And so I would sit. So what I did was at the start, when I built the first course, which is the beginner course, I called it the starter course. And I wanted it to be a complete one-stop shop for anyone from when they buy their first concertina. So the first lesson in it is just called the basics, and it's like how to hold the concertina, your posture, getting the basics right. The second lesson is the D scale, G scale, and it goes on and on then and progresses. And by the end of that starter course, you're playing a couple of reels and jigs, and that's about 30 lessons later. So it's designed that you'll take the lessons one at a time, get your good technique, get the good basics. But I recorded all those lessons, videos. I have 3 camera setup. One, I'm talking to one in the front, and there's one on my right hand of the concertina, one on my left hand, so they can clearly see and copy my fingers as well. So each of the lessons is, you know, it's 10, 20, 30 minutes long. It depends on how hard the tune is. And I just bring them through it slowly, phrase by phrase, and they go along with it. So that's how I started the website, was with that first course, the starter course.
And you've progressed then for an improver's course and an advanced course.
Exactly, yeah. So September 2018, I was 6 months pregnant with the twins, and that's when I launched the first course. September 2019, a year later, launched the improver course, which is intermediate level. So it's designed for when you get to the end of your starter course, you're ready for the improver course. And then September 2020, I launched the advanced course. So they're designed, each of the courses has between 30 and 35 lessons in them. And you know, I built them so that when you get to the end of the starter course, you can move on to the next one. When you get to the end of the improver course, you can move on to the advanced course. You're ready for it.
Did you notice an increase in the interest and subscriptions and for people looking to play it during the first lockdown?
Yeah, 100%. Definitely. You know, this music is so sociable. It's people coming together for a session. And in Ireland, it's in pubs, and in America, it'd be a lot of time in pubs as well. But a lot of the time, it's in people's houses. It's out on the deck in America. It's out, they do it in the garden when they have the weather. They come together and they play. And, you know, then people couldn't do that. And also with their lessons, they couldn't go to their lessons either. So even though I built this website well before COVID-19, and I built it for people who don't have access to a teacher at the best of times anyway, lockdown or no lockdown, it has really seen an increase because people then could not go to their sessions, they could not go to their lessons.
You were ahead of the curve and very ready for the market that you were looking to serve.
Well, luckily enough, yeah, I didn't realise it at the time, but delighted now.
Do you think this is going to be the new way of teaching, Kathleen?
Well, I kind of hope not, because we still need the person-to-person contact. You still need to be able to play along with your teacher in person. Like, I kind of sell this website to people saying, you know, use this if you can as a supplementary thing to your regular classes. If you can still go to your regular classes, do that, because you need that over and back. You need the teacher to be able to give you feedback as well. You need to be able to ask them the questions. Like, they can ask me questions on the website. I'm there all the time. I'm answering questions every day from subscribers. But you need that kind of social interaction as well. So I hope, obviously, it doesn't take over. But
how many countries are you teaching in at the minute, remotely?
29. I can't believe it. Honestly, I can't even believe it. It's mostly, I'd say half of them are in America and half of them are everywhere else. But there's a lot of people in Japan, Australia. The 29th country the other day was New Zealand. And, like, someone in Bermuda. Yeah. Brazil. Crazy.
Do you scratch your head at that, do you?
Yeah, I do. I said, is this someone messing with me now? But
tell me, Kelly, how important has the support from Udras been for your business?
Oh, the support from Udras has been brilliant, because from day one, even when I just had an idea for the website, I went and had a meeting with them, and they were so encouraging here in the Udras office in Gwydor. I had to make an application, obviously, and put my whole idea and a budget and a business plan down on paper for them, and they helped me with that. But it was really, really helpful because it helped hugely with the costs of setting up the website. So I have, you know, general costs at the start would have been the hiring of the camera crew, basically, the lighting, sound, cameras, the editing, the notation. I hired a fella to notate the tunes, which, you know, I couldn't have done. And then the biggest job was actually building the website, my web developer. So those big jobs, you know, it costs. So you have to front load the cost. You don't want to. And people were saying to me, sure, just like get it out. But I wanted, the first person I am, I wanted to do it right from the start. Like, no, I'm not letting this out until I'm really happy with it. So I needed it to be of a high standard. I needed it to look really slick and professional from day one. I didn't want to let out a half job and fix it up later, you know. I needed it done. So I had my date of the end of September that first year in 2018. Thank God, like, with Udras coming on board, it really helped to fund those costs that were front loaded.
Are you happy 3 years on with your website and with how things are going?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, the lockdown has seen an increase in subscriptions. It has given it that. So I'm happy to be able to give people, like, it's such a gift. It's such a joy and a gift for me that I'm able to give people a bit of joy in it when they, because they're getting such a kick out of it. These are people all around the world, age mostly, I think, around age 50, 60 and older. And the way I know that now is because at the first lockdown, I set up a private Facebook group only for subscribers, because I wanted them to be able to interact with each other. So there's people in the 29 countries, and I'm like, you know, they should be able to kind of have the crack with each other. Maybe they might even know, they mightn't even realize that someone they know is also learning on the website and they're learning the same tunes. And when they meet up next, they'll be able to play the same tunes together. It's like, oh, you're on the Improver course as well. So am I. Let's play this selection from this course.
Yeah. How has that interaction gone over the classes? Can you see relationships being built online? Albeit?
Yeah, exactly. So the private Facebook group has just added so much to the whole user experience for them on the website. But because before they were quite isolated, they were just going on, taking the lesson by themselves, yeah, interacting with me if they needed to, but then going off and leaving it at that.
And it's more personal than on the Facebook and direct group.
And I'm there all the time as well. I reply and comment on everything. A lot of the time they put up questions like, I'm having trouble with this part of this tune. Did anyone else come across this? Or how loose should my straps be? Or how to try? I'm having a, getting a pain in my shoulder. Maybe I'm not holding it right. And they'll put up a video of them playing and they're saying, oh yeah, you need to do. And then they all come in and chime in and help each other out as well. Like, they're really encouraging. And they have found neighbours. You're in Michigan, I'm in Michigan too. We should meet at this. So whenever we're allowed again, we'll meet up and play. So they're really encouraging like that. And then I put up some videos. I might put up a video of me playing some of the tunes from the course, and they are able to play along with it. But if they have any questions, usually someone else in the website, in on the Facebook page, has had the same problem before at some point, and they're like, oh, this is what I did to come overcome it. They can help each other almost better sometimes than I can help them, because they're having the same obstacles. They're starting a new instrument as an adult. I don't have that experience. So they have that experience of starting a new instrument, which is a challenge. It's not easy taking up, you know, starting a new instrument as an adult. Some of them would have played other instruments before, but I'm coming at it from a different place. I learned as a kid, so it's a different experience for them, you know, so they're able to help each other in that regard.
Kathleen, what advice would you give your 18-year-old self?
Just keep having the crack. Well, what was I doing when I was 18? Do you know what I was doing? Well, I was finishing my Leaving Cert, and then I thought I wanted to be an art teacher in secondary school, so I started doing a portfolio course. But I was there about 6 weeks and I really wasn't liking it. So I got an invite to join a dance show in Germany for 3 months. So I ran off with them. It's like running off at the circus. So I went off dancing in Germany for 3 months. So I, like, between 18 and 3 years ago, so for 12, 13 years, I intermittently did college and touring. So I did 2 years with Dancing with Riverdance and about 5 or 6 years touring with Kieran as a duo, the two of us. And then I did my undergrad in Cork, music and Irish degree, and I did a master's there as well. And then I did my dip for secondary school teaching in Trinity. So I did 5 years of college, but I did the dip for secondary school teaching as a fallback, as they say, because what are you going to do? What are you going to do, Kathleen? Like, you can't play in the concertina. So, I'm trying to avoid going doing the secondary school route. But things are going well now so far, so we'll stick with this for now.
Finally, Kathleen, what lies ahead for IrishConcertinaLessons.com and yourself?
Well, I just want to keep the subscribers who are there happy, because if I can help them along in their concertina learning journey, for want of a better phrase, then, you know, they're able to stay on the website and they're having a good time there. And if they feel like they're getting something out of it and they're learning, I'm happy. So customer service is definitely a big thing that I try to, like, you know, they email me, I get back to them within 24 hours if they're having any trouble. It could be about a phrase in the tune, or it could be that they're having trouble accessing some parts of the website, or something could be technical or whatever. So I just want to keep the subscribers happy, and I'm happy. If they're happy, I'm happy.
Kathleen Dugan, thanks for joining us on Business Matters.
Thank you, Kieran.
Well, that's it for this edition of Business Matters. Thanks to my guests, Marion Sweeney, Kathleen McGowan and Michael Tunney. Thanks to Kenneth Wilson on sound, and thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with the programme, drop an email to businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Business Matters, in association with Donegal ETBs for their education and training service, supporting essential communication and customer service skills for a more sustainable business.